Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
All right. I love this next story. Newly found bacteria may be the cause of rheumatoid arthritis. We were just talking about that a moment ago. Rheumatoid arthritis affects 1 in 100 people across the world. That's 1%. A new study may have found the cause behind this disease is gut bacteria. Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disorder, which means that the disease develops when your immune system begins to attack itself. The disease can cause painful and inflamed or swollen joint, usually in the hands and the wrists, and can cause chronic pain, deformities, and joint damage.
The antibodies that trigger rheumatoid arthritis may start developing in places like the lungs, mouth, and intestines over a decade before symptoms even appear. For the first time, the authors of this new study think they've explained why antibodies form in certain places. According to the researchers, the antibodies originally developed to fight unwanted gut bacteria, but secondarily attack the joints of people with rheumatoid arthritis, causing pain.
Researchers exposed bacteria in the stool of people at risk for rheumatoid arthritis to antibodies. A once unknown bacteria species was found in 20% of people with rheumatoid arthritis or antibodies that trigger it. In the study, the researchers gave mice one dose of the gut bacteria named Subsidulium digliosi. The mice then started to experience symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis and joint attacking antibodies by the 14-day mark. There's no evidence that the Subsidulium digliosi is prevalent in healthy people's stool, so we don't know how common it is.
It is still unknown why people with rheumatoid arthritis react to this bacteria. Research suggests that the bacteria may be the culprit when it comes to rheumatoid arthritis, since it is only found in rheumatoid arthritis patients' intestines, not healthy ones. The good news is that the researchers are hopeful bacteria can be used to develop treatments and eventually prevent rheumatoid arthritis. This
That's
is exciting.
Good news.
Isn't this like what happened with like ulcers? Right? With like stomach ulcers?
Yeah. You know, it's actually a great story. When was it? It was probably the 60s or the 70s when a gastroenterologist, a stomach doctor, first announced that Helicobacter pylori was the cause of stomach ulcers. And this guy was laughed out of the room and was laughed out of the profession of gastroenterology until he wasn't. But I do know, I think I was in medical school or it had just happened just recently prior to that. Because, you know, everything has to be delayed 30 years before we can admit that we were wrong. Right. So they actually had like a ceremony. And I don't think he won a Nobel Prize, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did for the discovery that H. pylori caused those ulcers. That would be the sort of thing that would be, you know, something that I think that would be deserving. But it was pretty incredible. And it also helped kind of break us out into this world, because remember in those days they were thinking with the advent of antibiotics that infectious diseases was going to be a thing of the past. Ha! Laugh with me, right? Like hilarious, right? The last 3 years have been the busiest years of my life, you know?
Well, I think it's also really exciting though, that there's like it shows that as far as we are advanced in medicine, that these relatively common things, I mean, 1% of the entire world's population, that's a lot of people. And that many people are suffering for something that could potentially be just treated as
100%.
Easily and as simply. That's really exciting.
100%. 100%. So we will definitely continue to watch this on Noise Filter.
Electrical stimulation can help paralyzed walk again. Epidural electrical stimulation, or EES, has been demonstrated to potentially improve mobility in individuals with paralysis. Recent research suggests that EES may be able to re-engage dormant spinal nerves that control leg and upper body movements within a matter of days for individuals with complete paralysis. This has been achieved through the identification of specific nerve cells that are able to help facilitate walking in paralyzed individuals, which could potentially lead to targeted therapies for a larger population. By using intensive training and electrical pulses, individuals with severe or complete motor paralysis and minimal sensation in their legs have been able to walk or use crutches as a result of EES. The efficacy of this approach has now been demonstrated by three research teams.
The mechanisms behind EES have been made possible through the use of machine learning algorithms, which can analyze gene activity in thousands of neurons in mouse spinal tissue, creating a detailed map of lower spinal cord nerve cells. This allowed the identification of a subpopulation of excitatory interneurons, which are nerve cells that connect motor and sensory neurons. In injured mice, the suppression of these cells resulted in paralyzed mice. After going through a process of EES rehabilitation, however, their overall neural activity increased. They were able to once again move freely.
Wow. So in the future, it may be possible to manipulate the activity of specific neurons through treatments such as gene therapy or the replacement of damaged neurons in the spinal cord using stem cells. However, it is worth noting that while the ability to walk again is certainly a significant achievement, other functions such as bladder and bowel control, as well as sexual function, can also greatly impact the quality of life for individuals with spinal cord injuries. And EES doesn't yet address those other lost functions. Still, walking again could add one huge missing component back to people's lives. And scientists suggest that in the future, this technology might be applied to improve those other functions as well. Wow, this is another story that it's just mind-blowing what the advancements of science can do for someone, right? Like, because the being partially or completely paralyzed is such a life-altering thing. Like, it literally affects every aspect of your health, plus your family, those around you, your life, everything. So to give people back the ability to walk and to move on their own again is amazing.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. And yeah, such an exciting development for the people who are affected by this, for their families, of course. And yes. Yeah, let's hope that we can move this into, you know, out of mouse, you know, obviously, like,
right,
research and models and into real life for people, and not only for the movement component, but also for those other things that we mentioned, to help bring back full quality of life to
yes,
people who have lost mobility.
Yes. Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast. Follow us on social media and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.